evening.
Good evening.
We'll wait a moment or two. I assume you heard, were listening to music.
I did. I didn't hear anything. And I was a minute early, so I think I'm the only one right now.
Yeah, I think so, too. When is your next meeting of the ladies group?
Well, we haven't been able to meet because of COVID and because of Tony.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Challah baking, but with no more than two people at a time. So.
Understood.
But I'm sure getting some lessons together. They're all packed and ready to go when the time comes.
Good evening. I believe somebody else came on.
Okay. Malka, good evening to all.
Hi.
Hi, Miss Hannah. I miss you.
I miss seeing you, too. Somehow we're going to have to get together again.
Yeah.
Well, we will begin with a L'shem Yehud as we begin, again, continuing our study of the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parsha Vayera, section 23, starting with verse 3. L'shem Yehud kucha barichu ishkinte bidhilu kimu udhilu.
Has joined.
Le'akta l'shem yudhe bavavhe. The Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohino alena maasei yadenu kudunei alena maasei yadenu kudunehu. Pasuk 3:20. Vayeshev bahar amar Rabbi Yitzhak ma'ashma diktiv bahar melamed shehu sham moshavo bekamakom Har guf shehu harev kahar. Delet beya tivuta uv benotav imo elu hav kohot diamaran kiare. Lashevet b'tzohar yira v'charada nofelet alav b'sha'ah sheroet tzar geinom shem tzarin l'arshayim v'choshev shesham yidon kewan Sheroeh she'eno nidon sham yotze v'holech v'patot v'nei adam acharav. The translation. And dwelt in the mountain. Rabbi Yitzhak said, what we learn from the words in the mountain is that this is the dwelling place of Lot, and his two daughters, who are the two forces mentioned before. And the mountain means in the body, which is as wasted as a mountain that has no goodness in it. Because he feared to dwell in Tsoar, fear and anxiety overtook him as he saw the agony of Gehinnom and the misery of the wicked, and it thinks it will be punished there. However, as soon as it realizes that it shall not be punished there, the evil inclination goes out and seeks to reduce human beings to follow it, to seduce human beings to follow it. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. The evil inclination
has joined.
The evil inclination is the most reactive entity in creation. Do you know what happens when you act reactively? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Oh, I don't have anything to say. I didn't quite understand that last sentence that you said.
Okay. Well, let me go back. Yesterday you asked, why would the evil inclination go down to Gehinnom?
Right.
And you see what it says here. It's similar to what I said, but it's obviously more clear. It goes down to Gehinnom, and it's fearful and anxious because it's part of the body. It's built into the body. It doesn't separate from the body. But it sees the body is dying, so it moves to and connects itself to the soul who goes down to Gehinnom.
Oh, okay.
Then when it's there and it thinks it's going to be punished, then it realizes it's not, it's just the soul that's getting punished. And the effect of the punishment is to cleanse, wipe off, disconnect the evil inclination. So that klipa, which is evil inclination is another word for klipa, mm-hmm. It's been separated from the soul. It's not being punished, so it says, what am I doing here? And it leaves and goes to seduce other humans.
Mm-hmm.
So my statement that you asked the question about, do you know what happens when you act reactively?
Okay, I didn't hear that part. When you react reactively, okay.
It's a question that I'm I never know why I write what I write, but after the fact, I can see what I was saying. It's really a question to say, are you aware of what happens when you react? Most people are not. Even after you study the binding by striking and you study Kabbalah, can you answer the question, what happens when you act reactively?
You get another chance to act reactively, for sure.
That's correct. But in the specific instance of acting reactively, the movie that you're in continues.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't continue at the same level. You fall. It gets more difficult. It gets more chaotic. If you looked at a movie that began at your birth and completes with your death, with no place in that sequence where you stopped your reactions, it's literally begins where you come into the world and ends with you becoming an animal of some type. not an animal in the sense of physically the animal, but your behavior is animalistic. Because all you're doing, each time you react, the movie is just following its pattern. And the pattern is for you to fall spiritually. And what is the ultimate effect of falling spiritually? We become animals. And then from animals, we become plants. And from plants, we become catatonic, which is a stone. Now, we do stop our reactions. But usually after we've reacted and manifested the action, you get angry and then you calm down. That's a form of stopping your reaction. But if you could do it at the first instance of the anger, you are going to a different movie. A movie that starts at that moment in time and elevates you to a higher level.
Makes me wonder if a month or so back when I felt that I had to be silent to everyone and everything, if that I wasn't at the stone level at that period of time. I thought it turned out to be a blessing. I saw a change in, I guess, my reaction with Tony, anyway, with things that were really getting to me. So I kind of have an inkling of what you're trying to get across.
If we could only be silent all the time. You can feel what you're feeling, but you don't have to express it. But it's human to express it. It's very difficult to remain silent, as you found out.
Mm-hmm. And it took me almost 2 weeks.
It took you 2 weeks to become silent, or 2 weeks to...
2 weeks of silence. Well, really a whole week, and then... I think what was the hardest was not being able to explain to someone why I was being silent.
Right.
And I was constantly thinking that that person or persons were going to think that I was angry with them, which was not the case. But I think being a teacher and being a woman and I really think having worked with little children for so long of my life, you talk all the time, you know. And so it's hard to be quiet. And then I think I've told you many times, when you reach your 80s, there's not much you haven't experienced. So you can pretty well carry on a conversation with anybody about everything that's ever happened. Or that they talk to you about, because you can tell them your experience. And so it was a lot of different lessons in a lot of different ways and approaches with different people. And in a way, I was kind of glad that there wasn't a lot of people in my life at that time because of COVID. You know, people aren't visiting and there aren't services and that kind of thing. So I didn't have too many people to have to contend with. But it, you know, it gave me a lot of time to think. And well, let me give you an example of what's going to happen tomorrow. I've had a hard time finding someone to help me with the house, to clean house. And finally, I have found someone, and this little young person is supposed to come tomorrow. And he wrote this very text to me today, and she had the man of Nazareth in it all the way through. And I told Tony, I said, well, I guess when she comes in, I'm going to have to tell her, you know, that we're Jewish, We respect everybody's religion, but maybe she wouldn't want to work for us farming. And I said, now, you know that we can't tell her anything unless she asks. And he said, yeah, I know that. So that's kind of the lesson. It's not that I didn't know it before. It's just that I think as women, we have a tendency to talk and share and learning that you have to be more quiet and you have to keep things to yourself, even if you do know. Say what you think is better for them to do, or without them asking, you best keep quiet.
Another thought is, we become reactive to hearing that name. So maybe the experience is to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to verse 321.
Okay. Thank you for that advice.
Rav Huna Kad Hawa Darish Liiz Dahara Livne Adam Hawa Amar Leho Banai Istamaru Mishlicha Shel Gehinom Uman Hu Zehu Yetzer Hara Shehu Shaliyah Shel Gehinom. Rabbi Huna discussed this subject in an effort to warn people. He would say to them, my children, beware of the messenger from Gehinom. And who is this messenger? It is the evil inclination, which is the messenger from Gehinom. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Where do negative thoughts originate? Where do negative desires originate? Is there a difference between the desires and the thoughts? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I think the thoughts come before the desire. But I also find that the thoughts are easier to stop your reaction.
Yes, thoughts are easier to stop your reaction because you haven't moved any part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give you an insight to... Another word for desire is consciousness. Do thoughts come before or after consciousness?
Probably after.
The Sefirot are levels of consciousness. You've heard me say that?
Mm-hmm.
So the thought is an effect of the level of consciousness. Thoughts come from Sefirot also. Certain thoughts come from the right column, certain thoughts come from the left column. They're all effects. What is the cause? The cause is the consciousness. But is it coming from your conscious level or your unconscious level?
Probably the unconscious becoming conscious.
You remember when we studied binding by striking? And I said that the initial answer from your higher self is a lie. But within that lie is a hint to what is your next question. And once in a while, I explain, but it's not, I don't do it clearly because it's part of a process. But you get to the point where your unconscious knows the reason. You know why you're motivated to do that at your unconscious level. But then you justify it. Step level by level, step by step. So by the time it gets to your conscious level, it could be 15 steps down from the real reason that you're being motivated to do this by your higher self. And you have all those levels of justification to wade through to get to your true answer to the question, what's motivating you? Why is it motivating? Is there a difference between desire and thoughts? The answer is yes. Desire is consciousness, and thoughts are the effect of consciousness. Consciousness is a picture. Thoughts are words. Now, other people, their thoughts are in pictures. But that's not all the time, is it?
No, most of the time the words come out first.
The words come out as thoughts before they come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've learned is that the root's going to always be selfishness. But selfishness has many different pictures. It might be one picture in this incident, but it may be a different type of selfishness in another incident.
That's correct.
So what I'm seeing is you have to go through those steps, even though you know the final step is selfishness, but you can find out which one of the steps relates to the different situation. And to different people, too, depending on the person and the one that's maybe causing you to react some way, even if you don't actually let it come out, if you had the thought against that person.
At some point, you will take that thought and you will understand why it came out.
Mm-hmm.
When you practice silence, it's easier to take that thought back to its source.
Well, see, I grew up in a home that you didn't talk back to your parents. And I think keeping silent was holding it inside.
There is a very fine line between suppression,
right,
of a feeling and understanding why you have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts are in the head, feelings are in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But feelings are where we go, we become, where we get into trouble. It's where we develop chaos or we create chaos in our lives through feelings. But you can't stop feeling because you can't suppress feelings. That's unhealthy. But you can change your feelings. And that's what people have a lot of difficulty trying to accept. that you can change your feelings. That's almost all of my individual work with people. You have a choice. You can be happy or not. That's a feeling. You have a choice. My worldview is half empty today. But I can have a choice to look at it half full. That choice is what people don't want to recognize. My sister many times would say to me, I don't react to people. They just irritate me and irritate me and irritate me and irritate me and irritate me until I blow up. And I could never get across to her that whole concept. That she always had a choice to be irritated or not. But if you're irritated, you're reactive. Does anybody have any other questions? Because we're about out of time. You all have a beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.